And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, my Martian friends out there. This is Tex Mars. I said that just to be have some fun to start off with, because we've got such important things here, and every once in a while I get indignant. I get angry at some of the news that comes in here, and today it's a day of secrets. In fact, this is Secrets Volume, 187, thank you, Jerry. 187. We've had 187 volumes. We usually do about one a month. As you can tell, friends, we've been here a long time. I'm getting gray-haired. But I'm still spunky. I'm still perky. What other words can I use to describe myself? Well, here's a woman that wrote me a letter. She said I was mean. Cruel. Now, that sort of hurts my feelings. Jerry, you don't think I'm mean and cruel, do you? No. Jerry says no. But wait, I'm your boss. Maybe you really do. You're just trying to appease me, aren't you? No, Jerry says no. Okay. I believe Jerry, absolutely. He never lies to me. I've never called him yet. He's been here over a dozen years. So surely he's telling the truth. I am a nice man. Wanda calls me her loving fuzzball, whatever that means. I don't know. And she tells the truth always. I've never caught her in a lie either. Well, maybe when she says I'm handsome or something like that. She probably fibs just a little bit. You know, but I don't contest it. I go along with it. I pretend that she's correct. But I wonder why she smiles when she says it. When she says I'm handsome, she always smiles as if maybe it's not quite true. You know? Well, in any case, this woman writes me, a young woman as it turns out, and she really should not attack somebody with her first letter to him. She sent me an email and said that I'm just cruel. She can tell by my email because I criticize people. You're just cruel because you don't have the gift of mercy because you expose people. You unmask things. You're a mean man, Tex Mars. Now, she said some other things there, too. I'm not going to even mention them. But she wasn't too happy with me. And I was thinking about it, you know. Now, I want to serve God, and I want to do the right thing, and I'd like to be nice. And, you know, to the folks that listen to our radio program that write me, I love everybody. I really do. You're my family, my extended family. And so I'm going to be nice to everybody. But there are just a few people in this world that deserve meanness. I mean, you have to lock some people up on death row in prisons. You can't afford to be nice to them. They'll take advantage of you. They'll even do terrible things to you if they have a chance. Any correctional guard at one of these prisons will tell you they don't turn their back on these guys. You know what I mean? They'll throw feces at them through the bars or any urine, whatever they can get their hands on. They're just horrible people. Some people, folks, you just can't be nice to. It's true. But I was thinking, though, when you have the Bible, people who deserve cruelty get cruelty, usually. It's almost like a religious law of God. You do cruel things will happen to you. You know, the Bible says, live by the sword, die by the sword. Now, look at Ahab and Jezebel. All the evil things they did. They even killed a man because they wanted his garden. They wanted his land. It was such a nice piece of land that Jezebel said, let's kill that guy. They did. They killed him for his land. I think it happens a lot in America. They want property and they kill people. Elijah slew 400 prophets of Baal. Now, Baal was the god of fire. It was really the devil. And he was these prophets were actually sacrificing children to Baal. What kind of a prophet would do that? They were false prophets of the devil. And Elijah was empowered by God, And in one day, he slew 400 of them. Was he cruel for doing that? For killing 400 prophets of the devil? I don't think so. They were probably responsible for so many thousands of deaths of children sacrificed into the fires. John the Baptist, when the Pharisees and the others came to be baptized just for show, he said, "Who has warned you to flee from the destruction to come? You vipers, call them serpents." That wasn't nice, but it was true. And you know, the best thing for those vipers and serpents to have done was to repent. And he said that, you need to repent. They just were doing that for show. There's a lot of pastors I know that are just up there for show. They're there for a big paycheck. That's all. Should I be nice to them? Should I call them brother? Should I put my arm around them? Should I invite them out to dinner? I don't think so. And then Jesus went to the temple and he saw the money changers. He got angry. He got indignant. Is that cruel to be angry? No, not sometimes. Folks, when you see evil in the world, if you don't get indignantly angry about it, I don't know if you're a Christian. When you see children being harmed by people, you don't get angry about that? I don't think you belong to Jesus. Jesus said it would be better for a man if a millstone were tied around his neck and he'd be thrown into the depths of the ocean rather than hurt one of those little ones. He said God had angels watching over those children 24 hours a day, basically. I'm paraphrasing Christ. Think about that. A lot of children are hurt by evil men and women in this world. A lot of children. They're all kind of pedophile rings and sacrifice rings and horrible people. I was reading about a black woman, but she could be white. It doesn't matter whether she's black or white. She had 15 kids out of wedlock. 12 were living with her. 12 kids. She was angry because she wasn't getting what she thought was enough welfare payments. She said, somebody's got to be accountable for these kids. Somebody's got to be responsible for them. What? Why did she ever have the 15 kids out of wedlock? They said, who's the father of these kids? She says, well, I know of three different fathers. Did you marry any of them? No. Then she had another man living with them then. I think it's evil for a man and a woman to live together who are not married if they're minor kids in the house. That is evil. That's when you have horrible things happen. That used to be called contributing to the delinquency of minors. If a woman brought a man into her house and had sex with him or lived with him and she had minor kids. So many kids today are maimed, tortured, hurt by so-called stepfathers that are not even stepfathers, let alone natural birth fathers. They're just men, women picked up off the street and brought home to live with them. Many of these men are such infidels and devils and lazy bums that the women support them. Women dutifully go to work every day. They work at Walmart, Kmart, all food stores, all kinds of places. And they come home and their man, so-called, is just watching TV. He's a sloth. He's lazy. He's a bum. And they're not even married. This woman was living with a man. She had 12 kids living with her. All of them illegitimate, and she wanted the government to be responsible and accountable. I say put the woman in prison, take away her kids, and give them to loving parents. Say, Tex, that's cruel. No, it's not. Jesus went into that temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers. He said, this should be the house of God, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. I think Jesus was right. Some people say, Tex, your writings are so hard, so harsh. In fact, you know, Jerry, when we had our prophecy conference here, or our spiritual conference, Liberty and Truth Conference, we call it here in Austin, we're going to have another one, too. I don't know just when. I don't want to announce it today, but I'm thinking of having another conference. Because we met, there were about 300 or 400 folks that came, lovely, from all over the United States, and I got to actually meet real people. here in the ministry, you know, they keep me, folks, I want to reveal something to you. They keep me locked in a dungeon here, and Wanda, my wife, Jerry Hepser, they put food under the door. There's a little bitty compartment there, and they just slide the food under, and they make me work. They make me write things, and they make me do radio programs, and I'm a prisoner in my own dungeon. Well, it's not my own dungeon, but, and I fib too sometimes. But they're white fibs. I'm just kidding. Okay. And they feed me good, but too good, really. And they really don't keep me locked up, but... some people are going to believe this. But, you know, folks came up to me and they said, you know, Tex, you're so friendly. You're so nice. You know, I'd see a man and hug his neck, a woman shake her hand, maybe hug her neck too. And I just, you know, I just wanted, you know, to hug everybody's neck because all these lovely people there and all friends of the ministry, and they believe like we do. And they'd come from long distance to this conference. And I just felt a kinship with everybody. And the interesting thing about this, Jerry, you were the MC. Jerry was the MC. Jerry Barrett, my engineer, he was the guy that sort of ran the show, told me when to speak. And see, I told you, they tell me what to do here. Okay, it's your turn, Tex. It's your turn, Michael Collins Piper. It's your turn. That's the way they do these conferences. They keep them on schedule, keep them running. And then he has his cane. Did you tell anybody about the cane? Yeah, if you're up there at the dais, at the pulpit too long, Jerry walks up behind you with his cane and he wraps around your neck and walk, and you're off the stage. You have your time in the sun and that's it. Okay. You're 15 minutes of fame. But anyway, the people, one woman came to me and she said, Tex, I've only seen what you write and listen to you on the radio, and I thought you were just a person that had a very sober face. You never smiled. But you got up here and you cracked jokes and you're just so friendly. I just can't believe it. I thought, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe I do come off as real mean. I don't know. But I was thinking about it. Look, I mean, I don't compare myself to Elijah or John the Baptist, certainly not to Jesus. But they were angrily indignant sometime. Spiro Agnew, now he was the guy I liked. Vice President Spiro Agnew. He did take a few bribes. That was bad. And he had to resign from the vice presidency. He was under Richard Nixon, you know, back in those days. But here's sort of interesting. He would attack the media, the evil, biased media, the liberal media. And you know what? He rightfully did so. That was one thing he did was right. Boy, he'd get out there on the stump and he'd attack the media. And I loved his wording. Where did he get these words? He called the media a bunch of effete, impudent snobs. Effete, impudent snobs. I like that. Now, that's coining some words. That's a wordsmith. In fact, he talked about pusillanimous pussyfooters. What? Pusillanimous pussyfooters. I still haven't figured that one out. The guy was vice president, you know, 50 years ago, and I haven't figured out yet what a pusillanimous pussyfooter is. He talked about the media being biased and evil, and he said they're a bunch of nattering nabobs. Now, Jerry, I have not yet figured out. Maybe I should go to the Webster's Dictionary. What is a nattering nabob? Now, folks, if you know out there, if you know of any nattering nabobs, I hope I'm not one, write to me. Tell me what a pusillanimous pussyfooter is. I know what an effete, that's like a girly boy. An effete, that's a homosexual type of guy. Impudent snob, I know about them. I meet them all the time in the press. But the pusillanimous pussyfooter or a nattering nabob, Spiro Agnew, they call him Ted Agnew, is vice president. Those were new on me, and I like that. Nattering, I'm going to use that. So from now on, folks, when I expose evildoers, I'm going to call them nattering nabobs, effete impudent snobs, and pusillanimous pussyfooters. But I'll probably get a few complaints about that, too. Hey, here's a guy that wrote to me. No, wait, it's not. Hey, this is not to me. He sent it to Brother David Cloud of O. Timothy Newsletter, another ministry. Good, because he's jumping on Brother Cloud. He sent me a copy of the, this is just a copy. Because this brother says to Brother David Cloud that Brother Cloud is afraid to speak about the Jews. He's fearful of exposing the Jews. Well, he's right, because I've got David Cloud's stuff, and he is afraid to tell the Jews. He said, Brother Cloud, call him Brother David Cloud, you were talking about Elena Kagan, who is a extremely liberal person who's been appointed, nominated, and she was confirmed by the Senate, but she was nominated by Barack Obama to be a Supreme Court justice. And you told us all about her, but you failed to disclose that she was Jewish and that she's a lesbian to boot. Why? Are you afraid of lesbians and Jews? I don't know if David Cloud is afraid to expose homosexuals, but he's like all the other evangelicals, or most of the other evangelicals. They're frightened to death to speak one negative word about Israel or the Jews. In fact, I had exposed the fact that Elena Kagan was a homosexual and she's Jewish. And she's a member of a secret society, the Belizean Club, a women's secret society, very like the Bohemian Grove that meets annually in the summer out in California. Hey, Jerry, you know, we're going to, and I want to tell the audience, our good friends out there, we're going to be publishing the book by my friend Michael Hansen. I've known Michael for many years. He wrote the one and only book exposing the Bohemian Grove. And I found out he couldn't get a big publisher to publish it, I guess, and he published it himself. That's an outstanding book, but it didn't have many sales. Nobody had ever heard of it. He couldn't get it out there. And I told him, well, my people will get it out there. You know, the folks that listen to Power Prophecy and get the Power Prophecy newsletter and go to powerprophecy.com online, folks, you know how to tell other people about books and get the word out. And those Bohemian Grovesters, those wicked men, need to be exposed in the things that they do. Michael Hansen actually went there clandestinely, took a camera and took pictures. And he tells all about what he found out. He went with another good pal of mine, Alex Jones. Remember, they went together. They teamed up together and snuck in. Yeah, they snuck in. I don't know what the right word is. Some English major, write to me, tell me, correct me. Tell me what a nattering nabob is and whether it should be snuck in or sneaked in. I need help. Yes, I need help from the audience out there, Jerry. But anyway, Michael Hansen wrote this book. I read it. It's great. I'm going to republish it in our Rivercrest Publishing imprint, and we're going to get that book out so people will find out more about the Bohemian Grove. Folks, in just 2 or 3 months, you watch for it, and we'll have this book out to you, okay? The Bohemian Grove Conspiracy, a conspiracy of the occult, or a cult of conspiracy. I don't know the subtitle exactly, but The Bohemian Grove by Mike Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N. Mike does a great job on this book. There was a little booklet put out, a little booklet. I call it a booklet, I don't know, 40, 50 pages by a California University professor, Dimhoff, I think his name was. But Dimhoff, he didn't know anything about conspiracies. He didn't even know what he was really writing. It really wasn't even a book. This is like 400 and something page long book. Okay, so we go to some more secrets. The Bohemian Grove are certainly secret folks and the things they do. President Nixon was invited to one of their meetings. He said it's the most faggoty, you know what, thing he's ever seen. Faggoty. Now, there's another good word. Faggoty. That's from Richard Nixon. He was exposing the Bohemian Grove. He said that in his privately, confidentially, in his presidential office, but it's come out on the White House tapes that have now been published by the Nixon Library. I like that. Faggoty. They're faggoty. They're hey, our Congress, our whole Congress is faggoty. But that's another story. In Israel, the people there just don't appreciate Christians. Let me read you from the News Tribune newspaper. What recently happened here in the year 2012, February the 19th exactly. It says, Israeli police say vandals have sprayed anti-Christian graffiti at a Baptist church in Jerusalem. Police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld said Monday that the vandals desecrated the church and slashed tires of cars nearby. This, he said, is the practice of Jewish extremists who lash out against Christians. In other words, they're hateful of Christians. And these attacks are occurring all over Israel. there are certain areas that the tourist guys will not take Christians to. The old areas of Jerusalem. If they see a Christian or somebody they think is a Christian, because you're a man, let's say, and you don't have your little skull cap on, and you have a tourist guide with you, they will come up to you and surround you, these Jewish men will, and they'll just spit, big gobs of spit all over your face. And they'll say, get out of our Jerusalem, you filthy, dirty Christian. Now, folks, you won't hear this kind of thing on Fox News, ABC, CBS, CNN. It's going on all over Israel. Did you know that the Jewish Talmud, their holy book, tells Jews, and the rabbis teach many Jews, that if you even walk on the sidewalk past a Christian church, you are to stop, grab your crotch, and spit three times in disgust on the sidewalk to show your disrespect and your hatred for Jesus Christ. If you walk past, if you're a Jew and you walk past a Christian cemetery where Christians are buried, you're also to stop and grab your crotch area and spit three times on the ground. I'll never forget when Roseanne Barr, who was raised Jewish, the Jewish comedian, Roseanne Barr was asked by the San Diego Padres baseball team to open up a game by singing the national anthem. Now, they knew that she couldn't sing, that she had a scratchy, raspy voice, and that they would be making fun of the national anthem, and they invited her anyway. If I were in the audience, I think I might have, for the first time in my life, done violence. Now, I'm not recommending it, but I might have. I guess I wouldn't have. But I'd have let my thoughts be known to the managers, to the owner. In fact, they'd never hear the end of it. Where are the people of San Diego? Don't you have any sense? What are you thinking, folks? Roseanne Barr got out there and made fun of the national anthem by singing, "Oh, say, can you see?" Well, the crowd started booing her. But she should have never been there to make fun of the national anthem in the first place, the Star Spangled Banner. They started booing her. She stopped singing, and guess what she did? Now, just regular vulgar, coarse old people shoot you the finger. But she's Jew. Let me tell you what she did. She grabbed her crotch and she spit on the ground. She had been taught well by the rabbis. That was the respect she had for the national anthem. Most Jews in America are not really American citizens. They're not patriots. They put Israel first. And that's what Roseanne Barr did. And I wonder who, Jerry, do you know who owned the San Diego Padres? Was it a Jewish owner? McDonald's. The guy that owns McDonald's. Yeah, McDonald's. Did you know that McDonald's is one of the richest corporations in America? They almost never lose money in one of their fast food restaurants. And did you also know that I found out, I got the documentation, I have a copy of the first audit report of the Fed Reserve that came out in 2011, and it showed that the Fed Reserve had given McDonald's Corporation billions of dollars in the year 2009 in 0% interest loans. Folks, you start a corporation in America, or if you own one, you ain't even going to get the Fed Reserve to answer your phone call. And they gave McDonald's, one of the richest companies in the world, in America, billions of dollars in an interest-free 0% loan. They didn't even need the money. They just got the money and invested at 3% interest, made 3% interest on their money they borrowed from the Fed Reserve for 0% interest. This is a scam going on. This is why the Fed doesn't want people to know what they're doing. This is one of the secrets I want to report to you today. Now, Jerry tells me at that time, the owner of McDonald's on the San Diego Padres, and they invited one of their Jewish lover dolls. By the way, Roseanne Barr was recently on MSNBC. She was interviewed. She says she's going to run for president. I don't know what ticket, maybe the dirty, maybe there's a political party called just the dirty political party, But Roseanne Barr was asked about her political views, and she said, well, I was raised a communist. She's raised a communist. Well, Roseanne, we already have a communist party in USA, but unfortunately for you, they have endorsed Barack Obama for president. That's right. The communist party USA has endorsed Barack Obama for president, which doesn't surprise me. They also endorsed Bill Clinton, and they endorsed Franklin Delano Roosevelt back in those days, the communist party USA. Interesting, isn't it? Hey, folks, while we're talking about secrets and we're on the subject, I get here in the ministry a magazine from the book industry. Now, that's, you know, book publishers and all and distributors. Ingram is the largest distributor in the world of books. And they distribute our books as well, so good for them. But they distribute other Christian publishers' books. They put out a magazine called Advance. It gives you advance information on books that are coming out, published by Christian publishing houses. Now, you know, in the old days, Christian publishing was a province of mom and pop. Christian people said, you know, I feel led by the Holy Spirit to publish Christian books. And that's the books that you find at Christian bookstores. Today, the conglomerates run the publishing houses. For example, I don't know if it's true today, but Multnomah, one of the bigger Christian publishers from out of Portland, Oregon, is owned by Zondervan. And Zondervan just happens to be, they publish the New International Version of the Bible. But Zondervan is a Christian so-called publishing house, but it's owned by the Zionist Jew, Rupert Murdoch, who also owns Wall Street Journal and Fox News, where Bill O'Reilly and all are there. For Word Books out of Waco, Texas, used to be a wonderful standard Christian publisher, but then they were bought up by ABC News. ABC News bought up a Christian publishing house. Well, mostly demonic books came out of that arrangement. You see, friends, the Jews, these demonic agents, Satan's helpers, are even into the Christian publishing field. That's why we set up our own publishing house, Rivercrest Publishing, so we could tell you the truth without any editing and censoring by these so-called Christian publishing houses that are owned by Jews. Well, one of the biggest publishers in the world, not they're really a business publisher, but now they're beginning to publish Christian books, is Wiley Books. Wiley, John Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y. They've been publishing books since 1807. In fact, I had one of my secular books, High Tech Job Finder, when I had my high tech consulting work, and I published many books on high tech and high technology careers. And Wiley Books published that book. But now they're publishing Christian books. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about two books in particular they're publishing, written by Jews, but they claim to be Christian books. And Wiley Press, which is probably owned by Jewish publishers, is publishing these so-called Christian books. And one is all about Jesus, the subversive Jesus, they call him. I'll tell you the title of these two horrible books. We'll expose this when we return. And many more secrets. Wow, we're going to talk about the Antichrist, the Black History Museum, the Anti-Patriot Act, I call it, and about devils in Catholic nursing homes. Devils in nursing homes? Devil spirits possessing human beings that are residents of nursing homes? I'll tell you about it. Stay with us. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Die, America, die. That's the title of my newest video. And a lot of folks are discovering what's really going on in the world. An amazing video. Die, America, die. The subtitle, very descriptive. The subtitle is The Murder of America. The Murder of America and the rise of Red China, Communist China, to be the leader of the New World Order and the redistribution of American wealth. They're taking away the wealth of America, your money, my money, and redistributing it throughout the world, especially to Red China. And Red China has been chosen by the Illuminati elite to be the leader of the New World Order. That's the subject matter of Die America Die. You'll find out that General Motors now has a new factory. They needed money from the TARP money. We American taxpayers bailed out General Motors. They thanked us by going to Uzbekistan and building a big factory there. We've helped Chrysler, too, in the past to stay in business. And now come to find out, they've been bought up by Fiat, an Italian automobile maker. And now Chryslers are made in Canada. 4 out of 5 Chryslers sold in the United States are manufactured in Canada, not the United States. Did you know that the Fed Reserve has given $17 trillion to foreign banks and corporations in the last 3 years alone? I show you the documentation for that. Did you know that the Iraqi oil, 4,000 American lives lost, tens of thousands of American soldiers, young men and women, have lost limbs in that war? Come to find out, all the oil has been going to Red China. Pipelines been built through Israel to the Mediterranean, and the oil tankers are bringing the oil, and Red China's only paying $2 a barrel for it, and they're selling it on the world market for anywhere from $106 to $120 a barrel. Did you know that? Well, no, they won't tell you. Did you know the reason we're in Afghanistan is not to find Osama? After all, he's dead now. What are we there for? 120,000 troops are there. That's because we're protecting the Red Chinese mining workers that are there. They're bringing out copper, aluminum, tin, uranium ore, and shipping it to Red China. And we're there to protect them from the angry Afghanistan people who say, you foreigners are stealing our minerals and treasures. It's bad enough that we allow the drug dealers to go back in to put in the poppy fields and produce heroin from Afghanistan. The poor people, impoverished people of Afghanistan are getting nothing, but the Chinese corporations and workers are there taking out all of their uranium ore, tin, copper, aluminum. And we Americans are protecting them from the angry Afghanis. I'd be angry too. But the truth is, even American oil now is being shipped to China, and they're driving up the price of gasoline at the pump. But our oil from American oil fields is being shipped to China. They talk about opening up the oil fields in northern Alaska. Did you know that Alaska is already producing a great amount of oil, but all of the oil from Alaska is going to Japan and India and China? Did you know we don't get any Alaskan oil? It's the 50th state, but all of the Alaskan oil goes to Asia. They don't even bring it over to America. And if we did open up the Anwar northern slope of Alaska, where they have enough oil for to fuel the United States for 1,000 years probably, they wouldn't give that to America either. They are taking our wealth. We own the oil under the ground in America. You and me, citizens. Folks, get my video, Die America, Die. Just on a radio show the other day, Jerry, Brother Vic Johns, he has sort of a home church, underground church, he calls it, in Alliance, Ohio. Good for him. You can't trust the establishment. Churches nowadays, they're sellouts to the devil. People are starting their own home churches. I can't blame them. We have Bible Home Church. Folks, use that for your home church. Go to BibleHomeChurch.org. You'll hear my sermons every week. Forget about this emerging New Age church that we have now called Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopal. Nonsense, most of them. They're so veered away from the Bible, you don't even... They're not even really Christian. I don't even know what they are. Some of them invite rabbis and Muslim imams into their puppets in these churches today. They're so perverted. Well, what was I talking about, Jerry? I get so angry sometimes I just go off on the, Die America Die. Stuff on that video, folks, you need a pencil and paper and get a a DVD operation that, you know, stop, you can stop it with your remote, because you're going to see so much material, you're going to want to write some of it down. 80 minutes packed. It's $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $30. Ask for Die America Die by Tex Mars. My good friend, Dr. Sneed, he's my physician. He called me the other day and said, this is a tremendous video, Tex. Do you have a script? You know, I don't know whether they wanted a copy of the script, you know, because I'm the narrator. I said, no, I don't use a script. That 80 minutes is me speaking. I had dozens, scores of articles and books in front of me. And I organized it in my mind, and God gave it to me in my heart, and that's 80 minutes. He said, well, that's almost incredible, I guess he was saying. How you can speak like that for 80 minutes and go from subject to subject, cover the waterfront, and give so many facts and document it all, 80 minutes. Well, that's the way I do my videos. I've never had a script. None of my videos have scripts. People are amazed, but I'm not amazed because God can do anything. And I'm usually just totally exhausted. Jerry, you know that. You record these videos. And after one of them, I'm just exhausted. Sometimes I go over to that couch here in my office, and I just collapse on it. You know, you come visit me in the afternoon. Where's Tex? Oh, he's in there. He's dead asleep. He's gone. He did a video today. Her radio program. $25, add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for Die America Die. I don't like that title, but I had to do it. It's true. And folks, there is hope. We can do something about this while there's still time. Certainly we can pray about it. You know, the old joke about the pastor that called the deacons of the church together and said, we've got a horrible problem. So we're going to have to pray about it today. And the pastor, the deacons looked at him and said, has it got that bad? That you have to pray about. You should pray first. Then it won't get bad. But evidently that's what we're missing in America, that prayer factor that changes things. Because God is on the throne and he listens to the saints. What a privilege. Now you can get it by ordering this $25 plus $5 shipping and handling for the 80-minute video, Die America Die. You can get it online, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Or you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. And remember, we'll give you a free newsletter. Ask for it. We'll give you a free newsletter, 6-month subscription, when you order anything from us. What kind of deal is that, huh? Okay. Order an $8 tape. You can order $8 a CD or audio tape of today's radio program, and we'll give you a free 6-month subscription. It cost us more than $8 to produce it for 6 months, but we'll give it to you absolutely free. By the way, the newsletter is all online too, powerofprophecy.com. Go there and it's free today. Plus many, many videos, articles, things like that. You can write to us, send us a total of $30 postpaid for the video. Write to Power of Prophecy or Text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, and say, Tex, send me that video and don't lollygag. There's a good word for you. Don't lollygag around. Don't be lackadaisical. Hey, I'm getting good, aren't I? Yeah, I'm still not as good as Spiro Agnew, but don't lollygag. Don't be lackadaisical. Send that to us right away. And guess what? The very next day, by the next business day, it'll wing its way to you, okay? Because we care about you. We love you, and we want to serve you. We don't wait. We process your order. Okay, let's return to our regular program. I promise you I would tell you about these two books. They're published by Wiley Press. One of them, by the way, they have a subsidiary press called Josie Bass. That's the one that actually publishes it, but it's under the Wiley imprint. Now, they're one of the biggest business book publishers in the world. Why then are they publishing Christian books? Interesting question. The first book is called The Underground Church, Reclaiming the Subversive Way of Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus was, I guess, a subversive in a certain sort of way. The Jews said he was a bad man. But after all, he told the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. And Jesus told the truth. But this book is written by evidently a Jewish woman named Robin Myers, although it says she's a prominent progressive. Folks, that's code word for liberal. Prominent liberal writer, speaker, and minister. Yeah, I bet there are a lot of Jewish progressives or liberals that are preaching, so-called pastors, of Christian churches today. I tell you what, friends, I have not yet found a so-called Messianic Jewish Christian church that is not run by, or where the preacher is not an imposter. Now, I know y'all going to get letters from me saying, well, I'm going to a Messianic congregation, and my rabbi pastor is not a, he's not a, yeah, he is. He's not a Christian pastor. And you know why I know that? When a man tells me, I'm a pastor of a Messianic congregation, a Christian, I'm Rabbi so-and-so. I say, who are you? I'm Rabbi John Smith. Okay, John, nice to meet you. I won't call him rabbi. Jesus said, call no man rabbi. Rabbi means master. I'm not going to call a man master. I'm not a slave except to Jesus. I'll call Jesus master. That tells you right away they're not Christian, or they wouldn't be running around calling themselves rabbi. Okay, this book promises to help you to recapture the spirit of the early Christian church and to be subversive. But it says, Minister Robin Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S, usually that's a Jewish name, says the church of the future must leave doctrinal tribalism behind and seek a unity of mission. I'll bet you anything that book tells you to have a unity of mission with other religions, other belief systems. You must leave your doctrines behind, your doctrinal tribalism. Well, you know what Jesus said? He said just the opposite. My doctrine is not mine, but my Father's doctrine in heaven. And if you know my Father in heaven, you will know my doctrine. Isn't that something? Have you ever heard a preacher say, we don't preach doctrine in this church? Doctrine divides people. You better believe it divides. It divides the sheep from the goats. And well, it should. Jesus said, if you know my Father in heaven, you will know my doctrine. There is a doctrine. Doctrines are the fundamental teachings of the church. If a pastor says we don't teach doctrines here, he doesn't teach Jesus and the fundamentals of the church. Run as fast as you can from that church, my friend. Now, here's another time you can run. I want to tell you about this. I love 1 John. 1 John is a wonderful book in the Bible. I want to read something to you because it's so important to what I'm fixing to say. Here's what John said. This is 1 John chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist. Then he goes on to say, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. When people say they're a Christian, but then they say, but on the other hand, Allah is God too, or the Jewish God is our God. You know right away, they have gone out from us, and they were never of us. And then listen to this one, the next verse. It says, who is a liar? Who is a liar, John writes, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Who is it, friends? What religions do you know that deny that the Son is not the Messiah? If they say, I don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, I don't believe Jesus is one with God, I don't believe Jesus was in heaven with God before he came to earth. Friends, that person is an Antichrist. The Mormons teach that. They say that Jesus used to be just a man, and he had to earn his godhood. And you, if you're a faithful Mormon, you too can earn your godhood. As Jesus was just a man, you are a man that can become God. You can become God of your own planet and have thousands of wives, including many virgins. Huh? The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. They believe that Jesus was really just another name for the Archangel Michael. Brigham Young, one of the Mormon pioneers, taught that Jesus was actually the Archangel Gabriel. So Brigham Young, they even have a Brigham Young University now to honor their Mormon pioneer, says that Jesus was really just an angel, the angel Gabriel. He says our Messiah really was Adam. They believe Adam. They believe Adam is going to return someday. Adam is the Messiah of the Mormon church, according to Brigham Young. And you know what? They're so mixed up and confused, many Mormons don't even know what Brigham Young taught. If you tell them that, they'll say, I never heard that before. Yeah, well, study your own pioneers and founders. Isn't that true? A lot of Christians never read the Bible, too. That's why they don't know these verses. If I ask the average Christian who is a liar, they'll say, I don't know. How about somebody that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Is he a liar? Well, not necessarily. Yeah, necessarily. But friends, in fact, they're not only liars, but Jews, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Hindus, Muslims. They are of Antichrist. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. The Jew says, I have the Father. I have Abraham. I'm of Abraham's blood. I have God the Father in heaven. But this Jesus, no way. I reject him. Really? He who hath not the Son hath not the Father. 1 John chapter 2. Read it. You're Antichrist. That's who you are. The whole Judaic religion is of Antichrist. Now, I know there's going to be a man with the number 666, Revelation 13 says. Here is wisdom. Let him who hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, of a man, and his number is 666. But listen to me, friends. There are many, let's just call them the little Antichrist. You can call them collectively Antichrist. We are of Christ. He is the head. We are the church of God. We're the body. He's the head. But Satan too has a head. He's going to be the Antichrist. And anybody who follows him by rejecting Jesus, the Muslims say, well, I believe Jesus is a great prophet and teacher, but he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Messiah. Well, you're Antichrist then. The Muslim says to Tex Mars, I get letters all the time. How dare you say that? Well, how dare I not say it? If I didn't say it, if I don't preach the doctrine of Christ, then I'll be damned. I'm not going to be damned. I'm going to tell the truth. And listen to what John says. Father, he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Folks, I have many Christians say, well, you know, we Christians worship the same God as the Jews and the Muslims. And you know what I have to say to them? You've been tested and you failed. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of the Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist, John says. Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Jew, you're of the Antichrist. It's true. Hey, have a Bible Tracts bulletin sent to me by Pastor Mark Smith, and I appreciate getting it. And I was reading it, and he's talking about the fact that we should not linger at Sodom very long. Remember, Lot was called out of Sodom? God said, sent those angels, and they told Lot, you and your family, get out of town. I was thinking about that. A lot of people, a lot of Christian churches are holding hands with Jews today. A lot of evangelicals are Zionist Christians, so-called. And the Bible says that in the last days, Jerusalem or Israel will be Sodom and Egypt. That's what it says, Revelation 11, verse 8. You're holding hands with Sodom and Egypt, pastor of a Baptist church, of Assembly of God, Pentecostal church, even of Methodist. If you're in Freemasonry, you're holding hands with Sodom. Because Freemasonry is nothing else but a Judaic religion. It is religion. Freemasonry, the Masonic Lodge, is a Jewish religion. Albert Pike, the former Sovereign Grand Commander, in his book Morals and Dogma, the classic textbook of the Masons, says that the Jewish Kabbalah is the font of wisdom and is, in fact, the foundation for the Freemasonry sect. He doesn't call it sect. He calls it, you know, fraternity. He says the Jewish Kabbalah, that's the system of magic, the books of the Kabbalah, which is taught by the rabbis in Judaism. He says it is the basis for all of the degree rituals of Freemasonry. Rabbi Stephen Wise, one of the most famous rabbis in the United States, once said, Judaism is Freemasonry, and Freemasonry is Judaism. Why do you think they have the six-pointed star of Judaism displayed in many Masonic lodges all over the United States and the world? But I was thinking about this. Pastor Smith warning, we should not linger. We should not stay too long in Sodom or hell will erupt. Because Sodom and Gomorrah, after all, were destroyed by fire and brimstone. I was thinking about that. A lot of folks are still in Sodom. They're still in Egypt. They haven't got out. They haven't become separate. Folks, get separate. Abraham, you know, was told to leave Ur in Babylon in the Chaldees and get out and go to a place I will send you. Folks, we're residents of the United States. But at the same time, we're holding hands with Satan's people, the Jews, the Zionists. Now, I don't mind you being friends with Jews. I don't mind you preaching to them. You should evangelize Jews. And hopefully they'll come to know Jesus Christ and they'll be one of the remnant. And they will join us in heaven. I would love for all Jews to become Christians. Not fake Christians like many of these Messianic congregation people, but true Christians. But you can't be in bed with their religion and their devil gods. By the way, we go from that to another subject. They passed the National Defense Authorization Act. I call it the concentration camp bill. President Obama now has the authority to decide, he and his agents, that you and I are terrorists. Not because of some crime we've done, but just because they think we are. Or they want to get rid of us. Because we're dissenters to their evil doing. And they can have you arrested at any time and me and taken away to some camp somewhere in the world. Or they can just have you shot. And they don't have to do the shooting. They can have a predator drone to follow your car, to follow you while you're walking or hiking or jogging, and just plain off you, just waste you, just kill you. They're authorized to kill. They have a license to kill. And it was passed by Congress. Yes, John McCain voted for it. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, voted for it. Nancy Pelosi voted for it. It's a detention law. You know, even a former Soviet refugee, concentration camp inmate, Igor Berman, was quoted recently in a Christian newspapers. He said, Americans should fear this law. It's the same kind of law that we had in the communist countries. He's a Soviet refugee. I'm getting letters from people who were victims of communism in Romania and Bulgaria and Albania and Russia, and they're saying, this is what the communists did to us. Now America is passing the laws that we had under Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev. Friends, that's disgusting. And we let it happen. We, the American people, allowed our Congress and our president to pass a law that says you can be slain, killed at any time. No trial, no grand jury, just they can come and kill you and say, well, he was a terrorist, so we killed him. What proof did you have? We're not going to give you our proof. We don't have to. We believed he was a terrorist, so we shot him. Or we cut his head off. Whatever they're going to do to you. Or they'll take you away and you'll never be heard from again. And your wife will get what they call a national security letter, which tells her, keep your trap shut. Keep your mouth shut about this. They call them national security letters. Meanwhile, President Obama is breaking ground. He's at the ceremony, February 22nd, the groundbreaking for the Smithsonian's new museum. It's the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Now, folks, we have Scottish people. We have Czech people. We have French Americans. We have British Americans. Yes, we have African Americans. But I can't believe we're dividing ourselves like this. Now we've got a national museum in Washington, D.C. of African American history. Oh, spare me. We've already paid billions of dollars of taxpayer dollars for a Jewish Holocaust museum. And now we have a African American history museum. I'm Scottish. Why can't I get my Scottish American history and culture museum? What, you say you originally came from Ireland? You're Irish? Yeah, where's the Irish American History and Culture Museum at the Smithsonian? Well, let me tell you where it's at. It ain't in existence, to use Texas colloquial language. This is the same president that put out a proclamation this year in which he recognized the quote-unquote immeasurable contribution of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender Americans. He honors the LGBT Americans, and now we have a black museum. Come on, aren't we just Americans, folks? Even Rodney King, who was a black American, said, can't we just all get along? This is divisive. Of course, I think that he wanted to have a prominent place, the first black president. But wait, we're told he's half white. Why don't we call him a white president or a mulatto or the first black white president? Why should he be called a first African American president? Why can't we divide him? We'll have half a picture of him in one half of the museum, cut off the photograph right in the middle and have the other in the other museum. I don't know. We'll have a white wing in the black museum. After all, he's a half white man, isn't he? Unbelievable. Now, I told you, I'd tell you about these demons at this Catholic nursing home. Precious Christian sister. I'm not going to tell you her name because I don't want to give her any bad flack or anything. But she said that she wrote me a letter recently, real nice letter. You know who you are. Your name starts with M, Sister M. She says, years ago, I worked in a nursing home that was run from the Catholic Archdiocese up in Rhode Island. And I took care of elderly monsignors, priests, and nuns. Isn't that interesting? A nursing home for Catholic priests and nuns. One night, she said, I went in a room to check on two nuns. And as soon as my hand touched one of the nuns, she sprang up from the waist and said in a strange voice, I hate Jesus Christ. It was the voice of a devil. And I said, yes, I know you do, Satan. Sister M talked to Satan and said, yes, I know you do, Satan. Can you imagine? Demon recognized Sister M as a Christian. The devils know you as a Christian. They recognize the Holy Spirit in you, and they're actually afraid. I hate Jesus Christ, the devil and this nun at this nursing home said. And Sister M answered back, yes, I know you do, Satan. She writes further, she says, Tex, there was no fear in me at all in that moment. None at all. And she goes on to say, we should never fear the devils because we have the Holy Spirit. And she says, as the Bible says, greater is he that is in within me, that's you, friend, as a Christian, than he that is of the world. She said, they're afraid. They should be afraid, the devils. They tremble at the Holy Spirit within you, she says. Isn't that interesting? By the way, she said the Monsignor, and that's a higher-level Catholic priest, had venereal herpes. Certainly interesting. Wonder where he got that. And that was from Sister M up in Rhode Island. Thank you so much, Sister. And we just love you so much for writing to us, and all of you who write to us here at Power of Prophecy. We especially love the fact that so many of you are praying for us. And we want to pray for you. If you have a prayer need, would you let us know? Whatever it is. You need help for a loved one or yourself, a personal situation, whatever. Tell us about it. We'll keep it confidential, of course, and we will pray for you. I promise I will personally read your letter. It can be an email, by the way. But I will read it, and I will make sure that we pray for you. And as I said, God is on the throne. He answers prayers. Well, thank you for listening to this volume of Secrets today. Thank you for tuning in each week. During the same time, the same radio frequency, the same radio network, or here on PowerProphecy.com, thank you for tuning in and discovering the power of prophecy.